Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, and we'll commence to read at verse 38. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have sent thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Amen. We'll end our reading there at the end of the chapter. Maybe we'll just have another wee word of prayer together, please. Lord, we thank thee tonight that when we turn to thy word, we can be stirred in our hearts. We can be directed rightly. We can, Lord, be helped and encouraged. And even, Lord, we can be prompted to pray more for our missionaries. And Lord, this evening we pray now as we look together just for a few minutes at the word, that the Lord himself would come alongside, and that he might be pleased to use his word to help us. Lord, we're just a little band out here in a little village, in many respects in a little country. But Lord, we thank thee that, Lord, we can make a difference for thee. And we pray that you'd bless the folk here. Lord, we thank you for the interest that there is in the foreign field. And we pray tonight, Lord, that our hearts might not only be stirred, but that they might be encouraged. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good to belong to a denomination that believes in evangelism, and not just evangelism among our families and our neighbours, but strongly, right from the word go in 1951, had a great interest in missionary work and reaching out to others. There have been many changes from those days, and on the mission field, as everywhere else, there are always and always will be changes. Many of our missionaries have come home. Even in recent years, some of them who have been, especially we could think of Kenya, they've moved to other places, maybe one or two back to Northern Ireland, and the personnel in Spain has changed as well. But it's amazing when you look back over the years how God was always working in the hearts of somebody else to come and take their place and to go out. And we want to pray tonight, as we will do later on, that that would continue to be the case. More and more missionary societies worldwide, those evangelical ones that is, are coming under pressure not to interfere, as it's called, with the culture in other places. That even covers up in the jungle where David Johnson used to live. Maybe it wasn't just the jungle, but it was thereabouts. And you're not to interfere with the natives, with their culture and their way of going. And if you go as a missionary and say, listen, something is totally barbaric, perhaps some practice they do, and all the witch doctor stuff, all that, and you say that's wrong, and you know it's the Lord you need, and you're generally speaking in for, and it's increasing. You're in for some kind of opposition. I can see it increasing as the years go by. Some mission fields are well established, and we want to, as a people, remember that the Lord Jesus Christ had a great desire for missionaries, for the mission field. Lift up your eyes and look on the harvest. And as far as he was concerned, that involved all who were lost. And tonight, as we look together at the word, we want to study just for a moment or two together, playing our part in missionary work. Playing our part in missionary work. The words that I'm drawing your attention to are found there in verse 49. You're familiar with them, and so am I. And the word of the Lord was published. And the word of the Lord was published. Key to any missionary work. And I want to say right now that I do believe in humanitarian aid. Some of our missionaries try to help in any way that they can regarding material things. And they're right across the world tonight among evangelical people. There are huge resources being poured into humanitarian aid, and you need to feed your fellow man. General Booth, I think it was in London one time, he was known for his generosity, just helping people. And he said, can you really preach the gospel to a man who's hungry and not give him a piece of bread? And we can understand what he said. So we do agree with humanitarian work. But folks, and this is not in any way harsh or hard, you should know that we don't talk that way by now. But first and foremost, the Christian church is to preach the word. We must preach the word. The word of the Lord was published. And I want to notice with you some things tonight, and I hope that they will encourage you to pray on for our missionaries and to do what we can. I want to say, first of all, that the word of God teaches us the importance of using the word. It teaches us the importance of using the word. This is what it says at the beginning of 49, verse 49. And the word of the Lord was published. Now, you can see the word published there in our authorized version. The word literally means to circulate, or it means to diffuse. I don't know what your houses are like, but sometimes in our house, there'll be little things, and I say, what is that? And I'm told that it's a diffuser. And it diffuses in the sense, I think you can get them in places called Yankee Candle and that sort of place. And it diffuses a perfume, if you want to call it that, right throughout the whole room and possibly the whole house. And the word here carries the meaning of burying or carrying through as well. Carrying through as it is diffused. In other words, preaching and publishing and publishing and publishing the word of God. And since the day of his own conversion, the Apostle Paul had a consuming passion. And when preachers read of other men in the Bible, they're very often encouraged. But Paul stirs your heart, because he had a passion that is contagious, and his passion was to reach other men and women with Christ. He had a great love for his own fellow countrymen, and so we should have as well. And we want to see our families and our Northern Ireland people saved as well. But the Apostle Paul was able to look out, and he was able to see the importance, according to what God taught him, of getting the word out to men and women. He was not one without spiritual authority. And when we do that, folks, in any way, eventually it's downhill. If we act without scriptural authority. Now, look at verse 47. It says, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Now, keep looking at that verse, and I'll read to you what it says in Isaiah 49 and verse 6, where the quote comes from. Isaiah 49 and 6, and he said, It is a light thing to do you that thou shouldst be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. And I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. In Isaiah 49, that was God's commission. You could say it was God's commission concerning Christ. It became Paul's warrant for reaching out to the Gentiles or the nations, to the people there. And as he did so, folks, he did what he did, firmly resting upon what he was taught by the Lord in the Word. And over there in Acts chapter 20, verse 21, it says, here he's talking, he's saying, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. And you preach the Word, you try to preach something profitable to people. It may not always be what they want to hear, but if it's just drivel, then it's of no benefit to anyone. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there you have it. And the Apostle Paul continued to publish the word with fervency and with fearlessness and, of course, with faithfulness. He wasn't a perfect man. He made some mistakes, I'm sure. He had his faults. But he was a man who fervently believed in the publishing or the circulating or the diffusing or the bearing along of the word of God, because what he did was based upon what the Bible says. And we talk about the Bible as our ground of faith and practice in everything that we do in our lives, and so it needs to be. Well, Paul had it as a missionary, and as we, as a church, as a denomination, pray for missionaries, pray when they're training, then send them out, then look after them when they're out there, and then pray more for them when they are out. As we do all that, we do it because it's God's will. It's God's will that missionaries would be sent. Someone said to C.H. Spurgeon one time, do you think if we do not reach the lost that God will damn them, with that they will be saved? And Spurgeon, he answered them in a quite a complex way. For he said to him, he says, if we don't reach them, are we saved? That was some answer. If we don't reach them, are we saved? In other words, he was saying, if we're truly converted, we'll want to reach them. That was it. We'll want to reach them. And of course, if it's a matter of sitting in the house and saying, well, people are up the 200 miles into the jungle or 300 miles, nobody's ever reached them, let them live and die as they are, they will not perish. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that all men are lost, irrespective of where they live, and they all need to be reached. And we are very glad, and many a time from I was just a young Christian, I have been so thankful to be attached to a church that had a great interest in missionary work. As not very long saved, I remember loved to go along to the prayer meeting, and especially when it was deputation meetings. I really loved to get there. And one of the people two of them that have always stuck in my mind as really, really having this kind of passion was Margaret Russell and John Hanna from Spain. And I remember John Hanna coming down one time to a deputation meeting, and the work in Spain was really, really hard at that time, and it was so difficult to get people in and get people to commit to the work. And I remember Reverend Baxter telling me after Mr. Hanna left, he says, that man has so many problems, he doesn't know which one to look to first. And you wouldn't have thought it when you were listening to him. Because, yes, he did highlight, I'm sure, some of the difficulties in the work in Spain, but he was so caught up with publishing the word. That was what he wanted to do. And I've never forgotten that. And Margaret Russell, I remember her coming home and saying, she said, to be honest with you, we thought the churches would have been registered by now. It shows you how long ago that is. It's 30 years ago or more. And she said, they're not. But she didn't dwell on it. And as you listened to her talking, it was very, very evident that Margaret Russell's desire was that the word of God would be circulated. That's an honourable desire. And it's our desire as a congregation. But The desire of congregations begins with individuals. The Lord needs to stir our hearts. And we think of playing our part in missionary work. Well, what we do in missionary work, seeking to reach out to others, is firmly backed up by the Word of God. I'm not saying the Free Presbyterian Church has got it 100% right every single time. No one ever does in any missionary work. But they're trying real hard. And they're trying really hard to get it out to men and women. And folks, we're hoping, we mentioned to you, I think, on Sunday, or maybe it was last week, I can't remember, that we do have some missionaries coming home for deputations and really, really want them to be able to come along. We can get you the leaflets, or you can get the leaflets or read them online. There's so much stuff online now. You can read it online, but it's not the same as having the missionary in the meeting with you there and filling you in on it. And do pray to them, please, that they'll be able to come home. Andy Foster's one of them. He is here at the minute, but that he'll be able to come along. We don't know what way things are going to go if you look at the news today. But please do remember that what we do is based upon the Word of God. I want you to notice something else. That in the missionary work that we're involved in, and this keeps people on the field, we are guaranteed the Lord's presence with us. Guaranteed the Lord's presence with us. Paul was capable, there's no question. But he and his associates, they would not labour without discouragements. And don't you expect to? Because our missionaries won't. And in verse 46, he had to say here, concerning the word, but seeing ye put it from you, that's an awful indictment. Reached and reached and reached, and then he turned around and said, right, you don't want it, we're going to somebody else. Seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Now, he was very straight in what he said to him, and he was right to do that. But no doubt his heart was broken because they weren't listening and they didn't want to know. It says there in verse 5 of chapter 14, and when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them. See, when that's hanging over you, it's all right looking at it almost in a romantic type of way. Oh, what a hero for the Lord, been out there. And look, the boys are out to get him, and they're going to stone them and all of that. When you're trying to live through it and go out and start preaching as the apostle certainly did, preach Christ, preach the need of repentance, it's a different story. You need help. You need help. And the very best of men could crumble under that kind of pressure. But they had the greatest encourager along with them. And I want to just read to you what it says in Mark 16 and verse 20. And don't forget this for our missionaries, what it says here. It says in verse 20, the very last verse of Mark's gospel, and they went forth and preached everywhere. There was the diffusing or the circulating of the word. The Lord working with them. See, those few words are the Lord working with them. Those words themselves have kept numerous men and women on the mission field for years and for decades. Sometimes when they thought, that's it, I can't go on with this, there's just too many discouragements, I'm going home, I'm not doing it anymore, the Lord has come alongside and he's met the need. And for our missionaries tonight, You know about them in Liberia and Spain and in Kenya and in all the various places. And other ones that are actually in churches in Australia and Tasmania. All of those we look upon, and even in the mainland, we look upon them there as in some way on the mission field. We want to pray that they're very aware of God's presence. Because for many of them, there will be times when there's not much else to encourage them. And they have to cast themselves upon him. And they have to lean hard upon him. Look at verse, back where we were, I think it is, and verse 52. Yes, verse 52 of Acts chapter 13. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Now, you can look at this passage yourself and say, there was the bearing of the word out, that's in verse 49. There was a bitterness in verse 50 because there was persecution that chased them. And then there was blessedness. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. I think I've said before, it wasn't because of the things that they had. It wasn't necessarily because of the people wanting to listen to them, but it was because the Lord was with them. The Lord was with them, and folks want to pray that for our missionaries. But they'll remember, not in any way insulting their intelligence, I'm sure they do, that what they're doing is based upon the Word. That God is always with them, working with them there. But I want to move on then to something else here. Not only is God with them, but weak men and women are made able. Weak men and women are made able. You're familiar with 1 Corinthians 1, where the Lord hath chosen the weak things to confound them which are mighty. And it does not in any way speak in a derogatory term there regarding people who are not highly educated or people who are not in themselves able to do a whole pile. It means ordinary men and women who are willing to do it, who are available to go and do what they can do. In Acts chapter 4 there you have Caiaphas and so on, and they're present at the trial of Christ, and Christ died. And we can't really understand how people must have felt when that happened, but God gave them the ability to continue to witness for him clearly. You can look at that passage yourself in Acts chapter 4, and to witness clearly and preach forthrightly for him. Pray for our missionaries that have courage, that God would take weak men and women and make them able. And clearly, that means faithfully. The muddled message is very much in, but it's no good because it doesn't save men and women. They need a clear preaching of the gospel. Of course, they have to be careful. And if they're going into an unreached people, for instance, they have to be extremely careful, and it can take a long time, and you need to make sure that you're not unnecessarily abrasive. You're there with Christ not to try to hammer anyone. And you need to be really, well, missionaries can tell you a lot more about that than me, but they were consistent. The message remained the same. As I said before, concerning Peter and John, they were unlearned men, simply meant unlettered. They did not have letters. Nothing wrong if you have letters after your name. I don't have any. But they exposed sin and they exalted Christ. It was as simple as that. And they called men and women to the Lord. And you know, they were just ordinary weak men and women like you and I. Sometimes our missionaries become discouraged. You may not hear that in a deputation meeting, but I know it. And sometimes people have had to go from here to the field to encourage them. Why? Because they're weak. Because they're weak men and women, just the same as us. And they can become worn down, and they need, but God is the one that's able to do it. When God sent these people forth to publish the word throughout the whole region, he was with them, and he enabled them, weak and all as they were. I want to pray that for our missionaries as well. I want to say something else. God, you and I believe that the Bible is God's word. God's word is owned of him. It's owned of him. That's his promise, that it will not return unto him void. It is his ordained way whereby men and women will be saved through the preaching, the foolishness of preaching, that men and women would be saved. If you're witnessing to someone in your family, thus we want to live and die doing that, because it's the only thing that can work, and the only thing that can. And we want to live also and die knowing that those who come after us have a missionary work that is consistent and faithful and clear and knows the Lord's help as they're going out to the mission field. And every now and again, folks, we are reminded that God's work is not for messing about. You think of Wesley Graham, just when he was in his fairly late on in his 50s, Wesley got involved in the work there in Nepal. And the Lord used him in a remarkable way. And I remember one night telling us in presbytery about it, and he just shook his head. He says, there's so many men here, so much more capable than me. He says, but there's no question, he says, the Lord enabled me. And then, just a few weeks ago there, he was buried, 66. John Wesley said that God buries his workmen, and he carries on his work. And that reminded me, and it reminded you, I'm sure, of the necessity of doing what we can earnestly and while we can. Because truly the night comes when no man can work. But God will own his, he will own his word. And we want to get that into the minds of our young people. There are many calls on them today, and there are many, many other things that they can do. But some of them, in answer perhaps to your prayers, man, God will challenge them concerning missionary work. And there will be those who are just we boys and girls now, if God tarries, that in another number of years, whatever time is God's time, he will challenge them, will they go through with him? And in an age that is totally given almost to materialism and really looks upon church as something that is just, you can take it or leave it, that's the way the world is today. God is trying to call out men and women who will give their all for him, who will be willing to go away and just to be away from everything that they're familiar with, and to do it knowing his help. They'll be made aware of their weakness often enough. But knowing his help, knowing that what they're doing is based upon the word, knowing that God will own his word, and knowing that he will give them the strength they need in every situation. I've never been a missionary, but I was on the mainland for 5 years. And Bridlington, I can't remember how many people were in this town. It was quite a lot. And we did outline Scarborough and all that. Just in the 5 years there, we gave out 65,000 invitations. I remember contacting John Dummigan and Ivan Foster, who had tracks so often, they wondered what I was doing with them. We were giving them out every Monday and every Wednesday down in the market. But on the Monday, we were always going round doors into different villages and distributing them, usually just through the door, but round Bridlington every now and again. We didn't get people's backs up, but every year, we knocked the doors. And I can tell you, while that was not Kenya or anywhere, I can't remember, apart from one man who may have been saved, can't remember talking to anybody else that said they were saved at all. Out of all of those tracts and all of those invitations that we give out. But we know this much. God owns his word. And if we always said, and I remember standing in many times in a little prayer meeting in Bridlington and saying to the people, listen, you know, for every tract that the people accept from you or I can get through the door, at least the word's in the house. It's in the house. And then we're leaving it with the Lord to work after that. Over in James 5, I'm going to read what it says in the verse 16. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. And then it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We've looked at that on at least one other occasion in the church. And we said that the effectual fervent means spirit inwrought prayer. Praying in the Holy Ghost doesn't have to be eloquent. Has to be sincere. Spirit inwrought prayer. And I know, again, from talking to people, that missionaries have many, many needs. There's one of, who is it? Yes, Paul Thapa, I think it is. They're trying to get a new Jeep for him at the minute. They're looking £30,000 to buy one that would be suitable for him and other people in that area. And that is very important for them. He's actually not as fit as he used to be to do what he does. And he must have a reliable vehicle. He used to do it for years in a wee motorbike. And he's not just as able to do that. But we know those are all needs, but you know, more than anything, they need our prayers. More than anything, they need our prayers. I want to say one final thing here as we look at this. The word of the Lord was published, and we're looking at playing our part in missionary work. I want to say that one day all opportunities will be over. One day all opportunities will be over. I just want to see, read what it says in Acts chapter 14 and verse 15. It says, and saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without a witness. Great to know we're part of that. Our day is here, and I'm not saying this in a morbid way. I think of Wesley Graham. Margaret Russell's home now, retired. When I think of those things, our day is here. Our day will go. And we need to pray, that's our responsibility now, that God would be pleased to meet every need for our missionaries. And we're going to get down together now and do